Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing back.
The men's FIBA Basketball World Cup in China tips off Friday's show. Spain will play Argentina in Sunday's final in Beijing, China. In semifinal results Friday, Spain edged Australia 95-88 in double overtime, while Argentina beat France 80-66. Toronto Raptors center Marc Gasol was named player of the game after Spain's thrilling double overtime triumph. Marc tallied 33 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Teammate Ricky Rubio, a point guard for the NBA's Phoenix Suns team, added 19 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists, and 4 steals for Spain. San Antonio Spurs point guard Patty Mills led Australia with a game-high 34 points. Meanwhile, Argentina got an excellent performance from one of its veteran players, 39-year-old forward Luis Scola, in its semifinal victory against France. Scola tallied 20 points and 13 rebounds to lead Argentina to its first World Cup semifinal win since 2002. Now Argentina will go after its first FIBA World Championship since way back in 1950 when it hosted the tournament. Spain, meanwhile, is also bidding for its second world title after winning the gold medal in 2006 in Japan. And if Spain wins on Sunday, Marc Gasol will put himself in some select company. Marc would become only the second player to win FIBA World Cup and NBA titles in the same year. The now retired American Lamar Odom did the double in 2010 with Team USA and the Los Angeles Lakers. Elsewhere, Nigeria's national men's basketball team has returned from the FIBA World Cup in China after qualifying for the 2020 Olympic Games. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos, Nigeria.
Nigeria's men national basketball team, also known as the Tigers, arrived Lagos from the FIBA Basketball World Cup in China. Members of the Nigeria Basketball Federation Supporters Club were also at the airport to welcome the team. The Nigerian team played in Group B with Argentina, Russia, and Korea. The team won 3 matches and lost 2, qualified for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, and emerged as the best African basketball team. Alex Nwora is the coach of the Nigerian team. He says the FIBA World Cup was exciting, though the team planned for a podium performance.
Brought together, we qualified for the Olympics. That's all that counts. At least we have something to show for it. It wasn't the result that we were looking for. We want to be one of the teams at the medal table, but unfortunately, everybody saw the game against Russia. We kind of let that one get away from us, and we bounced back to winning 3 games after Argentina's game and give yourself a chance to be at the Olympics 2020 in Tokyo.
Mora says the Nigerian team learned some lessons from the FIBA Basketball World Cup.
You can never explain the experience that you get from being there yourself until you're there. I mean, I learned a lot, the players learned a lot, and I know that the Federation also learned a lot. Moving forward, going to the Olympics, I think early preparation, lesson that we learned from this will help us tremendously when we get to the Olympics.
A member of the Tigers, Talib Zana, says the team made mistakes in the games against Russia and Argentina.
our effort wasn't, you know, and probably focus. It's a game of mistakes, so we make a lot of mistakes that really hurt us down the stretch. We just have to learn from it and just move on.
Nigeria's men basketball national team had played in the London 2012 and Rio 2016 Olympic Games. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
The Voice of America, VOA.
My name is Coach Alex Mwara, the head coach of Nigerian D Tigers. I want to give a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
The 2020 Olympics in Tokyo are scheduled to officially open on July 24th and go through August 9th. It's a time in Japan when the sweltering heat is causing organizers to think up countermeasures, including artificial snow, to beat the heat. Reuters reporter Jason Albano tells us more.
Fans and athletes at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics might be able to take a little break from next summer's heat with some snow. On Friday, organizers sprinkled artificial snow on spectators at a test event to see if it would help with the high temperatures and humidity.
The snow machine cannot actually cool down the temperature, but instead it gives a cooling feeling to visitors with pieces of ice that fall down on them.
As the race of the 2020 Olympics in Japan heats up, organizers are scrambling to work out countermeasures to cool everybody down. Temperatures commonly pass 30 degrees Celsius, that's 86 degrees Fahrenheit, in July and August, when the games are slated to begin next year. This year, a deadly heat wave had killed scores of people since July. One construction worker, who died of suspected heat stroke, according to local media, was found unconscious on the grounds of a Tokyo 2020 construction site.
It's important to take measures to stay safe in the heat if we want to avoid something like this happening again. I think it is important for these measures to be officially implemented.
Other countermeasures for the heat include water vapor sprays, as well as air-conditioned rest areas in the venue.
Well, you might say the Confederation of African Football's Champions League tournament is heating up this weekend. Samson Omale joins us now with a look at the matches. And Samson also has boxing and athletics news. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. The first leg encounters will take place this weekend with 16 losers on aggregate scheduled to enter the CAF Confederations Cup playoff round. Two-time winners Kotoko of Ghana will face off with Tunisian giant Etoile du Sahel, who won the competition in 2007, and the first leg match will be played in Kumasi. Record 8-time winners Al-Holly will be away to Equatorial Guinea's Kano Sport in Malabo as they look to go all the way and clinch their 9th trophy this season. South African giants Mamelodi Sundowns will square off with Seychelles side Côte d'Or in Victoria, while Angola's Petro de Luanda will host Ugandan outfit KCCA in Luanda. In N'Djamena, defending champions Esperance de Tunis will start their title defense against Elect Sport, who are the Chad Premier League champions, while 5-time champions TP Mazembe of DRC will face off with Madagascar's Faso Juniors in Mahajanga, while Algerian giants JS Kabylie are set to face Guinean side Horoya in Tizi Ouzouer. In boxing news, Ghana's Patrick Alote will hope to upset the boxing world and clinch the WBO Super Welterweight title from Jimmy Mungua in California this Saturday. Alote, who has 40 wins and 3 losses to his name, became the opponent of choice for Mungua after he failed to reach agreement to fight Canelo Alvarez, Gennady Golovkin and JC Vargas. For the Ghanaian, he says he feels very ready for the challenge of taking on a very good boxer.
Yeah, well, nothing, but I'm coming in to win. So if the fans are shouting for Mungua, that means they are shouting for me too, because I love Mexicans. And I can tell myself that I'm also a Mexican right now, because I'm fighting with the Mexican. So I'm also a Mexican.
In athletics news, Beatrice Chepkoe and Michael Kibet are expected to lead Kenya's bid for glory in the long distances at the World Championships in Doha, Qatar, which begins from September the 27th to October the 6th. Michael Kibet, who turned 20 a week ago, was only a toddler back in 2005 when Kenya won its last gold medal at the World Championships in the 12-lap race. And this time around, he might just be the man to end the country's dirt in talent and medal in the 5,000 meters race.
I don't know about the criteria. If I will be among them, I am sure I will come back with a medal.
Diamond League Series champions Beatrice Chepkoe will lead Kenya's bid for gold in the women's 3,000 meters steeplechase.
I'm not under any pressure because I'm going to try my best to bring a medal this time round.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
The U.S. space agency NASA plans to send astronauts back to the moon in 2024. Coming up this Saturday and Sunday on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. Marshall Smith, director of NASA's Lunar Exploration Program, talks with host Rick Pantaleo about the space agency's plan to return to the moon.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, Bamboozip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
I received a few Facebook messages on Friday from friends in Africa. Eddie Manda says, "It's another Friday. Greetings from Nkata Bay, Malawi, Sunny." Vincent Maloba, the beat cop of the Sunny Side of Sports in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, writes, "Wishing you, Sunny, and all Sunny Side of Sports fans a wonderful weekend ahead." Henry Amara says he's listening in from Uganda. And Henry writes, "Thanks, Sunny, for the show." And Ali Abdelmanam Ali says he listens to the program in Khartoum, Sudan. More boxing news now. Former world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury will be back in the ring Saturday night when he fights the unbeaten Swede Otto Wallin at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us now with a preview is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. British heavyweight Tyson Fury is ready to rumble against Sweden's Otto Wallin in what he calls another exciting bout on the Fury Roadshow. The odds are in favor of the former heavyweight world champion, but ahead of his match, Fury suggested he doesn't know that much about his upcoming opponent.
I don't know much about Otto at all, to be fair, and that's sometimes a good thing, because when you know everything about an opponent, it doesn't really turn me on a little bit more than it should do. But when the unknown is more exciting, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I don't know. I know he's good looking, blonde hair, blue eyes, just my type, Marseille. And tall, in shape.
Wallen stands at 6 feet 6 inches tall, which gives Fury a 3-inch advantage. And Fury admitted that is, in part, why he chose Wallen as his next opponent.
Wallen was selected because he was the highest ranked available opponent, 20-0, ranked number 4 WBA. Left-handed southpaw, 6 foot 6 inches tall.
On Saturday, Fury will return to the ring for his second fight since his controversial draw with WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. A rematch between the two fighters has been announced for February 2020, but for that repeat to happen, Fury must first avoid an upset on Saturday. But Fury says he's not thinking about a rematch. His focus is on Otto Wallen.
I'm not interested in Deontay Wilder one bit. I've got Otto Wallen to think about. Then I'm going to think about getting smashed in Las Vegas. Then you might have to scrape me up off the road after I get run over when I'm drunk. Who knows? So February's a long time away. I might have a lot of cuts and bruises by the time February comes. So we'll worry about that when it arrives.
And as Saturday's bout is considered a tune-up match for Tyson Fury, Otto Wallen will enter the ring as the underdog in his quest for the heavyweight title. His upcoming match against Fury will be the biggest fight of his career. And Wallen says his preparation has been years in the making.
It's something I prepared for since I started boxing. You know, every time I went to the gym and training and working out, I dreamed of coming to the big stage and fighting the best heavyweights. And I'm finally doing that. So I've been preparing for this for a long time.
And Wallen says the opportunity to fight on boxing's biggest stage is a long way from his humble beginnings in Sweden.
Yeah, I was very happy. It dropped out of the sky and we got it done and we're finally here. And it's a dream come true for me to be here. I come from a small place in Sweden, and now I'm here on the big stage, and I've been dreaming about this, and I'm ready to put it all on the line.
Well, stay tuned for the results from Saturday's match when both boxers will put it all on the line at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. And that's all from me today and for the week. More sporty news to come. It's back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Rafael Nadal's epic 5-set title victory against Daniil Medvedev at the recent U.S. Open in New York is still generating reaction. Reporter Craig Gabriel was courtside for Rafa's 19th major championship. I sent a tweet to Craig and asked him, where do you rate Nadal Medvedev in the history of U.S. Open men's finals? Craig tweeted back, it was the absolute best U.S. Open final of the last couple of decades. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to Craig Gabriel's post-match report.
Certain moments can define careers. Experiences can live on forever. Emotions remain deep inside a person. On the final night of the U.S. Open, the match that transfixed on the Arthur Ashe Stadium will fill all those points and probably then some. Rafa Nadal and Daniil Medvedev played a match that can't be praised highly enough. For 4 hours and 50 minutes, everyone was on a roller coaster of emotions and excitement. It was like turning the pages of a Daniel Silva novel. Just when you thought you knew the protagonist, there was yet another chapter to hook you right in. It seemed like Nadal had the final in the bag. He led Medvedev 2-0 and had a break. It was a matter of pushing just a bit more, but the crowd were taking the noise decibels up to a few notches, and the Russian mounted his comeback. Suddenly, he was in the game. The third set fell to him when he finished with a backhand drive winner. There was concern creeping into Nadal's face. The fourth set level-pegged with Medvedev serving first. Nadal served to make it 5-all, but in a flurry, Medvedev stunned the Spaniard with a priceless backhand passing shot down the line. The crowd went nuts. The fifth seed had a chance to break early in the fifth, but Nadal was right there, and instead, he went up a double break and led 5-2 and served for the championship. But no, this really wasn't ready to end, and Medvedev pushed it to the brink. A second time, Nadal served for it, and after saving a break point, the championship became his. Daniil sent a return long, and Rafa dropped to the court. 7-5, 6-3, 5-7, 4-6, 6-4. It's a shame there could only be just one winner. Let's first hear from Rafa, and then from Daniil.
Well, the last 3 hours of the match have been very, very intense, no? Very, very tough mentally and physically too, no? So, and at the end with the video, with the crowd that have been, as always, amazing, that all these facts that make the moment super special, no? And unforgettable moment at the same time.
Tonight, I'm not happy to lose. But I have to give myself credit for these 2 weeks. It's been amazing. Before the tournament, my best result was fourth round of a slam. I had some physical problems. Sometimes I didn't play as good as I wanted, but I managed to be in the final. I managed to give huge fight to one of the best players in the history of our sport, and have to give myself credits. And I hope I grow a lot doing these things, but I need to continue and I need to be better.
For Daniil, it's been a remarkable season. He will be the new world number four, and there's so much more to come from this 23-year-old. This is Nadal's fourth US Open and his 19th major, putting him now just one behind Roger Federer's record. And he says that is not his aim.
I don't look it at that way. I always say the same. No, I would love to be the one who win more, but I am not thinking and I'm not going to practice every day or not playing tennis for it, you know. I am playing tennis because I love to play tennis, no, and I can't just think about Grand Slams, no. Tennis is more than Grand Slams, and I need to think about the rest of the things, you know. I play to be happy.
And he must have something against Russians, because this is the 20th straight win over a Russian. Rafa is the second oldest man to win the Open. Only ahead of him is Ken Rosewall from 1970. What a match we've been witness to at the U.S. Open. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, New York.
Thanks, Craig. More tennis news. 7 years after retiring a second time, Kim Clijsters is attempting another comeback at age 36. The former world number one and four-time major champion from Belgium made the announcement in a special video on social media.
What do I really want from life? For the past 7 years, I've been a full-time mom, and I love it. I really, really do.
Jada, get up. Oatmeal met snottebellen.
Yeah, pak hem.
But I also love being a professional tennis player.
Kim Clijsters lets the emotions run free.
And honestly, I miss that feeling. So, what if I tried to do both?
Are you thinking about a comeback, Kim? Any chance?
Could I be a loving mom to my three kids and the best tennis player I can possibly be? Let's do this. Let's come back one more time.
See you in 2020.
See you in 2020, Kim. Kim Clijsters won the U.S. Open women's title three times in 2005, 2009, and 2010. And in 2011, she lifted the trophy at the Australian Open. And Kim Clijsters already is a member of the International Tennis Hall of Fame, having been inducted in 2017. And as we heard from Kim, she's a mother with three children, so it'll be very interesting to see how she does on the courts in 2020. Maybe she'll even go up against Serena Williams, another mother and another former world number one. If you're just tuning in now to the Voice of America, our top story on this Friday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports: Spain will play Argentina in Sunday's FIBA Basketball World Cup in Beijing, China. In semifinal results on Friday, Spain edged Australia 95-88 in double overtime, while Argentina beat France 80-66. Toronto Raptors center Marc Gasol was named player of the game after Spain's thrilling double overtime triumph. And that wraps up the September 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
On the anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks on U.S. soil, U.S. President Donald Trump abruptly canceled a widely criticized secret meeting between Washington and the Taliban at Camp David. Host Carol Castiel discusses what needs to be done to get talks back on track to pave the way for an end to the 18-year conflict. Listen for it on Encounter this Saturday and Sunday.
This is Science in a Minute.
Did you know that you have a built-in network of biological clocks, which over a roughly 24-hour cycle regulates a variety of processes such as behavior, physiology, and metabolism? This system of clocks is usually synchronized with our body's master clock located within the brain's hypothalamus. Scientists have suspected that these individual clocks can operate independently of the master clock. To test this theory, researchers from Spain and the U.S. stopped the circadian system of specially bred mice. Then they activated individual clocks in the liver. While all the other clocks had been disabled, the researchers found that the liver continued to keep its circadian rhythm and performed its critical functions. The researchers say that their work could help scientists learn more about circadian rhythms, the aging processes, and a person's general well-being. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, migrants from Nigeria, Ethiopia, Zambia, and Kenya have been the target of personal attacks and their businesses have been looted. Xenophobia in South Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The U.S. space agency NASA plans to send astronauts back to the moon in 2024. Coming up this Saturday and Sunday on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA. Marshall Smith, director of NASA's Lunar Exploration Program, talks with host Rick Pantaleo about the space agency's plan to return to the moon.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm